Murari Gupta. He said, my lord, I do not want anything from you. I only want to sing your glories. Please grant me this boon that I will never forget you. Birth after birth after birth, I will have the good fortune of living in the association of your devotees. Those devotees who always accept that you are the master and they are your servants. My dear Lord, the only boon I ask of you, please allow me to eternally be the servant of your servants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed that benediction upon Murari Gupta. All the devotees celebrated this glorious fortune by crying out, Jai! Jai!
Jai! Jai!
Anyone who hears this narration with sincere devotion will attain pure love and devotion at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then explained to all the devotees the meaning of Murari Gupta's name. Because Krishna, whose name is Murari, is always secretly kept within his heart, therefore his name is Murari Gupta. Although he is a householder, and he appears to be an Ayurvedic medical doctor by profession, Lord Chaitanya said, if anyone considers him an ordinary man and makes offenses to him, that person will suffer. Even millions of bats in the river Ganges cannot relieve such an offense to a devotee like Murari Gupta. Even the chanting of the holy names will not relieve him of that offense. The Lord wanted to give a good lesson to all of us, how very, very careful we must be not to offend Vaishnavas who are dear to the heart of Krishna. The Lord then turned to Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas, your body is better than mine. Haridas, your caste is higher than mine. Do you remember, Haridas? Do you remember when you were being beaten by the Muslims? Through 22 marketplaces, they were blaspheming you. They were beating you with whips and canes. At that time, I descended from Vaikuntha with Sudarshan Chakra in my hand to sever the heads of those demons. But in your heart of hearts, you did not see any fault in them. You only saw good in them. You loved them. You were praying from the core of your heart that I would see no offense in their behavior. From the core of your heart flowed a spontaneous stream of forgiveness that could not be disturbed by any condition of this world. Because of your love for these people, my Sudarshan Chakra was powerless. I could not tolerate seeing you beaten that way. So I personally fell on top of you. I placed my body over your body so I could take all of those beatings to save your life. Just see, O Haridas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his supreme opulences to Haridas Thakur. He lifted his shawl, and Haridas saw on his beautiful, beautiful body the brutal marks of beating that were meant for Haridas were on the body of the Lord. Upon seeing this, Haridas Thakur fainted. In ecstatic gratitude that the Lord endured an entire day, 22 marketplaces of brutal beatings on his body, just to protect his devotee, he fainted. In this regard, we should know how the Lord yearns to be the servant of his own servants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Rise, rise, Haridas, and gaze at my opulences." It was then that he revealed his form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Haridas Thakur wept. With folded hands he prayed, "Please be merciful. I am a great sinner. I am a great sinner." The Lord requested him to offer prayers. He said, "I am the most fallen, the most sinful. But you are so kind that you never abandon those who remember you. Even if a worm or an insect remembers you, you will not abandon that fortunate soul. But I am so unfortunate that I never remember you." Draupadi, when Duryodhana and Dushasana were stripping her naked in the assembly house of Kurus, she tried by all her might to save herself. She turned to her five husbands, but they could do nothing for her. She turned to Bhishma, to Dhritarashtra. Then by her own strength, she tried to somehow or other save herself. But when she understood the desperation of her condition, then from the core of her heart, she remembered you by chanting your name. And you incarnated as a limitless sari to protect your devotee. Duryodhana and Dushasana could not understand what happened. This is the power of one who sincerely remembers you. Fearful, demoniac witches surrounded Parvati to kill her and to eat her. In that state of desperation, she remembered you. And you descended to save her and annihilate all opposition. Hiranyakashipu, he tried to kill Prahlad with poison, with rocks, with fire, with spears, with water, with venomous snakes. But in every situation, Prahlad remembered you, my Lord, and you saved him. "But my Lord, I am so unfortunate that I have no power to remember you." Duryodhana sent Durvasa Muni to ruin the lives of the Pandavas. He came with his 60,000 disciples to have lunch at Yudhisthira's house in Kamyavan. Draupadi had her magic pot that could supply food for as many people as she wanted until she ate. The Duryodhana staged this episode in such a way that Durvasa Muni arrived just after Draupadi finished her meals. It was a hopeless situation. Durvasa Muni is not the person you want to offend, according to the scriptures. In that hopeless situation, when Durvasa Muni and his followers were bathing in Jamuna, Yudhisthira Maharaj helplessly remembered you. And then out of nowhere, my lord, you appeared at the door in Kamyavan and said, "I'm hungry, Yudhisthira." Yudhisthira, not only am I not feeding Durvasa Muni, I can't even feed Krishna. He said, "No, Yudhisthira, give me the pot. Just bring me that pot." There was one little crumb of a vegetable stuck to the bottom of the pot. The Lord, my Lord, you ate that. And all the followers of Durvasa Muni and the Rishi himself, their bellies were bloated with food. And they ran away. My Lord, you always rescue those who remember you. Ajamil, he lived a sinful life of dacoity. But at the very end, seeing his son, he chanted your holy name of Narayan and remembered you, my Lord. And by remembering you, you saved him from the Yamadutas, and eventually you brought him home, back to Godhead. My Lord, I never remember you, but I beg you, please, do not reject me. The Lord, with great loving feeling, said to Haridas, "Ask for a boon." Haridas Thakur said, "I do not want anything, my Lord." Note the constant theme of all the great Vaishnavas. They simply want to give. They don't want to take anything from Krishna. But the Lord insisted. Haridas Thakur said, "If it makes you happy, my Lord, then please grant me this boon. Grant me the food remnants that have been eaten by your devotees. Allow me to have the leftovers, remnants from the plates of your devotees. Let that be the object of my worship, birth after birth after birth. The remnants of your devotees. Let that be the object of my worship, birth after birth after birth. The remnants of your devotees." My Lord, I am so impudent. I am asking for such a great, great benediction from you. Who am I to ask for something so exalted as this? Please forgive me, my Lord. Please forgive me. I beg you, just let me be the servant of the servant of your servants. When Lord Chaitanya and the devotees heard Haridas Thakur pray, their hearts melted. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaimed, "Haridas, anyone who sees you, talks to you, or remembers you, that person I will give my full mercy to. I will give the treasure of bhakti to them. That is how dear you are to me." Lord Chaitanya, who is the supreme controller of all controllers, proclaims to all the Vaishnavas that, "Haridas Thakur, you are my master. I am a prisoner in your heart. Your love has captured me like a prisoner. I cannot escape. I give you this gift, Haridas Thakur. Without offense, you will always chant my holy names, serve me, and serve all the Vaishnavas. Upon hearing this boon, all the devotees cried out, Jai, Jai!
Jai, Jai!
It is not by high birth, not by material opulences, that one can achieve the mercy of the Lord. It is only by the intense desire for devotional service, the intense desire to hear the glories of the Lord, the intense longing to chant the holy names of the Lord, the intense greed to remember and pray to the Lord, the intense longing to serve the Lord and serve His devotees. It is this intense longing that makes the Lord a prisoner in the heart of His devotees. It is not due to scholarship, austerity, money, or any material calculation. Rupa Goswami says it is only that lolyam, that greed. Prahlad was born in a family of demons. Hanuman was born in a family of monkeys. And Haridas Thakur was born in a family of what is considered to be untouchables. But yet, because they remembered the Lord with such eagerness, humility, and devotion, the Lord proclaimed to be a prisoner in their hearts. The Lord then turned to Sri Advaitacharya. He said, Advaita, do you remember? Before I even appeared in this world, an incident took place. I'm going to remind you. Every single verse of the scriptures, you would always give a commentary on how it leads one to pure devotional service. You were lecturing on Bhagavad Gita, describing bhakti as the essence of all verses. And every time you came to a verse where you couldn't understand how this relates to bhakti, you would fast. You would become so depressed that you couldn't come to that conclusion. You would fast. And somehow or other, you'd fall asleep. And whenever that would happen, I would reveal to you in a dream how that verse glorifies the path of pure devotional service. But one time you were reading a verse in Gita, and you just couldn't figure out how this means bhakti, because all other commentators give a very, very different interpretation. So you fasted. Somehow you fell asleep, and I spoke to you in a dream. Advaita, go eat. I will reveal the inner essence of this verse at a later time. I assure you. Now you go eat, break your fast. So you ate. That happened long ago. Today I have come to tell you what is the essence of that verse. The verse is, everywhere on my hands and legs, eyes and faces, in this way the super soul exists. When Advaitacharya heard this, he became very, very ecstatic. And all the devotees cried out, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked all the devotees present to ask for boons. One person asked, my father is unfavorable. He doesn't like me coming here every night. Please make my father favorable.
So be it.
His father became favorable. Another person asked for the bloom. Please, please, my lord, give me true, pure devotion to my guru. Another asked, please bless my disciples. Some fathers and mothers asked, please, please, give love of Krishna to my children. In this way, everyone was asking for boons for the welfare of others. Meanwhile, Mukunda Dutt was being completely neglected by the Lord. He was awarding benedictions to every person in this wonderful Satprahadiya Leela. But he wouldn't even look in the direction of Mukunda. Are you all still awake? I guess if anyone wasn't, they are now. Somebody's awake. Please listen carefully. This is a very serious subject. All of these Vaishnavas had each and every one of their innermost heart's desires fulfilled by the causeless love of Lord Chaitanya. Each of them saw before their own eyes the incarnation of the Lord that they worshipped with their life and their soul. Each of them were achieving the highest states of love of God and also granting them to their loved ones. So you would think everyone would be in bliss. They were all in bliss. But in the middle of it all the devotees began to cry. Why? Because the Lord was neglecting Mukunda Dutt. They were more concerned with him than themselves. Mukunda was so humble, he was hiding behind a curtain because he felt he had no qualification to come before the Lord unless the Lord called for him. The Lord called for everyone else. No one was coming up to the Lord. The Lord called for Haridas, called for Sridhar, called for Murari, called for Srivas, called for Advaita, called for each and every devotee present. Mukunda was becoming very sad in his humble state. He was crying. This broke the hearts of all the Vaishnavas. Srivas Thakur, whose house this most glorious pastime was taking place, he approached Lord Chaitanya. He said, my Lord, why? Why are you punishing Mukunda? His singing is so sweet. When he chants about Krishna, it melts our hearts. It even melts your heart, my Lord. When Mukunda sings, he puts everyone in the deepest transcendental state of happiness. He's pure in heart. He's humble. He's respectful to everyone. He loves to serve every living being. Why? Why are you punishing him? Please call him. If he's done something wrong, then chastise him, punish him, do something. But please, my Lord, do not neglect him. When Lord Chaitanya heard the appeal of Srivas, he spoke very gravely. Never speak again
these words.
Don't plead on behalf of that wretched person. Mukunda is such a wretch. He's the kind of person who puts a straw of grass between his teeth, and with his hand he holds an iron mace. What does that mean? He comes before me humbly with grass in his teeth and approaches my feet, and then he beats me with an iron mace. Srivas Thakur, what are you speaking, my lord? What are you speaking? He said that Mukunda, he goes to various places, and whoever he associates with, he talks like them. When he's with the impersonalists, he'll talk that devotional service is not very important. And he's with the devotees, he'll be glorifying the holy name and glorifying Krishna's leelas.
Don't ever appeal on that wretch's behalf to me. This is what I mean by grass and teeth and iron mace.
It so happened that when Mukunda Dutt was very young, his teacher spoke against devotional service. And for just a very short time, he was influenced by what he said. That's what Lord Chaitanya was referring to. When Mukunda heard this, he was weeping and weeping and weeping. And Lord Chaitanya said, I never again want to see the face of that person. He was crying uncontrollably. And every devotee in Srivasangam was falling on the floor crying in sympathy of Mukunda. Try to picture this scene. Mukunda behind the curtain weeping, and all the devotees weeping and weeping and weeping. Mukunda Dutt, he began to speak so that others could hear him. He was actually just speaking to himself, but others could hear him. He felt so fallen. He said, I will end my life. There is no reason for me to maintain this offensive body. If I cannot see the Lord, if I have offended the Lord, then there's no reason for me to live. I will end my life. But will I? Will I ever again be able to see the Lord? The Lord heard those words. And he said, He will see me after 10 million births. When Mukunda heard those words, he was splashed with bliss. He began to dance in ecstasy. I will see in only 10 million births, I will see Lord Gauranga. He began to dance and dance and dance, wild. In ecstasy, I will see, I will see, I will see. When Lord Chaitanya saw him, he was so pleased. He said, Mukunda, I want to see you now. But Mukunda couldn't hear him because he was so much excited about seeing him after 10 million births. I will see, I will see, I will see. The Lord said to the devotees, bring Mukunda. The devotees said, Mukunda, Mukunda.com, come now. The Lord wants to see you now. He wants to show himself to you now. Come. And Mukunda couldn't even hear what they were saying. He was, I will see. They had to pick him up and carry him and put him right in front of the Lord.
The Lord revealed himself to Mukunda. Lord Chaitanya told him, you have conquered me by your full faith in my words. I told you after 10 million births you will see me. You had such complete faith in my words. That faith has conquered my heart. Krishna consciousness is not a cheap thing. Sometimes, after chanting our rounds and following some regulative principles for 10 or 20 or 25 years, we think, why am I not seeing the beautiful form of Gopinath dancing in my heart, performing Ras Leelas? Why? If you have that mentality, that's why. Mukunda Dutt was inundated with ecstatic bliss because he had complete faith that the Lord said, without a doubt, he will see me in 10 million births. What is 10 million births to see the Lord? That's a very, very, very small price for such a benediction. If we have any comprehension of the value of love of Krishna, Rupa Goswami explains, what is surrender? There must be great enthusiasm to execute the Lord's will, and there must also be patience. Patience that whenever the Lord wants to bestow His mercy upon me, that is His will. Because of His faith that Lord Chaitanya's words, that He will see me after 10 million births, He conquered the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because of your faith, I have eternally become a prisoner in your heart. Mukunda Dutt spoke that I am a great fool, my Lord. I have no real faith in you. I have no real faith in your words either. And I have no devotion. I am as worthless as a pile of useless ashes. But why? Why, my Lord? Despite my fallen, unqualified condition, I'm feeling bliss when I see you. Unless one has real devotion, one cannot feel bliss even upon seeing you. Duryodhana, you revealed your Virat Rupa, the universal form that all the Vedas are longing to see. All the sages and rishis are longing to see. You revealed that universal form to Duryodhana. But he didn't feel any bliss. He felt miserable. Because he had no devotion. Those kings in Vaidarbha, they were there for Rukmini's marriage to Shishupal. Do you remember? You came down on your bird carrier Garuda during very auspicious function when we were all gathered together. You appeared before all of them and took Rukmini away. Every one of those kings saw you with their own eyes. But because they had no devotion, they did not find any happiness in seeing you. They were depressed and distressed by seeing you. They tried to defeat you. And ultimately, you defeated all of them. Hiranyaksha, the brother of Hiranyakashipu, he challenged you to a fight in your beautiful form of Varahadev. Every one of your limbs were composed of Vedic yajnas. He saw you face to face, but he found no happiness. He wanted to kill you, but ultimately you killed him because he had no devotion. And his brother, Hiranyakashipu, he saw that most glorious, incredible, transcendental form of Lord Nrsimha Bhagavan. That form that brings such joy to your devotees. But he felt no happiness. He felt fear. He felt threat. He felt hatred. And therefore he was destroyed in your presence because he had no devotion. My Lord, I do not understand your causeless mercy. I have no real faith. I have no real devotion, but yet I'm feeling such great happiness upon seeing you. What were the qualifications of Kubja, the Yajnapatnis, the Mathura women, or the garland maker in the streets of Mathura? They were just very, very ordinary people. But because they had devotion, they felt great happiness in seeing you. At the same time as them, Kamsa saw you. But he felt only pain and suffering in his heart because he had no devotion. My Lord, I have no devotion, but yet I'm enjoying seeing you, although I'm worthless like a pile of ashes. This is the power of devotion. The power of devotion gives Anantashesha the strength to hold all the universes on his heads, although he doesn't even have any support under him. And he doesn't even feel that the universes are on his heads, because with such great devotion, his tongues are always chanting your holy name. Because of devotion, Lord Shiva has the power to give auspiciousness to anyone he blesses. Because of devotion, Narada Muni has the power to give bhakti to his devotees. Because of the power of devotion, Vyasadeva, who was lamenting after writing so many Vedic literatures, but when his guru Narada told him to just glorify pure devotional service a little, then Vyasadeva became blissful and wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the power of devotion. My Lord, even though I am lower than a useless worm, by your causeless mercy, I am happy to see you. Upon hearing Mukunda Dutt's genuine, heartfelt humility, Lord Chaitanya began to weep, cry, tears. And all the assembled devotees were incessantly weeping along with the Lord. The Lord said, "Whenever you sing, Mukunda, I will come. Whatever you have spoken, I have spoken those words through you. Everything that you said is absolute truth. The only goal of life is pure unalloyed devotion.
I will tell you a true story. When I was in Mathura, there was that washerman. That washerman performed millions and millions of births of pious activities. And the reward of all those pious activities is he was allowed to see me face to face. I gave him the chance to serve me and make his life perfect. But because of his association with Kamsa, he had no real devotion. And therefore, he was not happy to see me, and he was not willing to serve me. All his millions of births of pious activity was wasted because he had no bhakti. And I severed his head with my hand. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. The Lord was so kind, he gave him liberation anyway. Lord Chaitanya said to Mukunda Dutt, today I place pure unalloyed devotion in your heart. And I give you this benediction. Whenever you sing, you will melt the hearts of all the circle of Vaishnavas. You will be most dear to the heart of all the devotees. And whenever I descend into this world, you will be my singer and chant my holy name. All the devotees cried out, Jai, Jai!
Jai,
anyone who hears this narration with sincere faith will sing with Mukunda Dutt. Anyone who feels happiness upon hearing this narration will see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu face to face. Srivas Thakur was so kind. Such a gentle, loving servant of all living beings. Here in Srivasangam, Srivas Thakur facilitated this most wonderful, wonderful event. 21 hours of transcendental ecstasies where the Lord continuously revealed his supreme opulence and bestowed causeless mercy upon all. Toward the end of the Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the remnants of his food to the little 4-year-old girl, Narayani. The author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, was the son of Srimati Narayani. The daughter of the brother of Srivas Pandit. He explains in regard to his mother that the Lord was so affectionate upon this little girl that she is famous for all time to come as the recipient of Lord Chaitanya's remnants. The Lord would personally feed her. In this way, through the Mahaprakash Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfilled the desires not only of all the devotees who were present, but of all the devotees who hear this narration with faith and love for all time. Shall I continue? Thank you. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expects genuineness from the Vaishnavas.
not artificial devotional service. Not trying to jump into realms of bhakti that we are not qualified to do. An example of that is given in the house of Srivast Thakur. Every night Lord Chaitanya would dance all night for one full year. And only the persons that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally approve of were allowed in. And they had to be persons with spotless hearts who had real love. No ego. No lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, or illusion. Now, many people wanted to get in. You know how India is. Pious people were begging the devotees, please let me in. I want to see Nimai dancing. I want to see what's going on in there. And obviously, they were even trying to bribe the Vaishnavas to get in. But the devotees knew that, no, the Lord only wants those persons who He certifies as unalloyed devotees. So one night, the mother-in-law of Srivast Pandit secretly hid behind a basket to see the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mardangas and karatals started playing. The kirtan was singing very sweetly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped it. He said, I am feeling no ecstasy today. Someone must be in this house that is not to be here. So the devotees just searched everywhere in the house. They said, my Lord, it's only us. No one else is here. They began the kirtan again. The Lord stopped the kirtan. Somebody is here that should not be. I am feeling no ecstasy in this kirtan. Srivast Thakur found his mother-in-law behind the basket. And needless to say, he immediately removed her from the house. Then the kirtan started, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance in ecstatic love amongst all the devotees. Now, what is the meaning of this story? We have to understand the internal significance. It's not about mother-in-laws. Although I'm sure many of you would like to interpret it that way and use it as a scriptural quotation for evidence. What this is about is this is a high leela. Lord Chaitanya dancing with his devotees in Srivasangam, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, was the reenactment of the Ras Leela of Vrindavan. In fact, Srivasangam is considered the Rasastali of Braj Leela in Navadvip. So unqualified people just trying to break their way in can never really gain access because they're not pleasing the Lord. Thakur Bhakti Vinod explained it in this way, that for a mango to be ripe to actually offer to Krishna, it must stay on the tree and keep getting nourished and nourished and nourished and nourished until it's ripe and soft. Now some people, they may take a hard, green, unripe mango and just beat it with sticks and rocks to make it soft. And actually, it's as soft as a ripe mango. But there's no sweetness. It may be soft. It may feel like a ripe mango. It may look like a ripe mango. But to Krishna, it does not taste like a ripe mango. And therefore, he rejects it. So similarly, devotees should be honest. Take shelter of the holy name. Take shelter of service to Guru and Vaishnavas. Hear the Hari Katha according to how Guru and Krishna is presenting it. One time, one devotee, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, I will not mention the name, but Prabhupada's disciples know. He was studying Sanskrit. And he went to one Babaji scholar of Vrindavan and said, Prabhupada, please give me your blessings to hear from him because he's teaching about the very high rasas of Raj. Would you like to hear Prabhupada's reply? Prabhupada, it's on tape. It's on tape, I heard it, where Prabhupada's explaining this whole story. Prabhupada said, I told him that I give you blessings to go to hell. Because you have no qualification for that level of subject matter. I am teaching you what you need to hear. It is offense to Guru to be jumping. We must qualify ourselves. We must purify ourselves by the proper process. Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna book, gave us Antya Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, but also gave us balance of how to understand these high topics, along with the fundamental topics. Because after all, how many of us have actually realized we're not this body? How many of us realized that state where there's no envy in our heart? Where we have no more desire for sense gratification? Sukadev Goswami explains, if one hears the Ras Lila about Krishna with faith, then that purifies one of all lust. But our acharyas challenge, do we really have that faith? If not, we must take the medicine as it is prescribed by the expert physicians. So in this example, Srivas Thakur, his mother-in-law, she wanted to enter into the Ras Lila of Krishna Sankirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement, without the adhikar, without the qualification. And therefore, her being there did not give pleasure to Lord Chaitanya. That defeats our whole purpose. We do not enter into the Leelas of the Lord when Krishna is genuinely pleased with us. By our humility, by our service, by our eagerness. And he comes down and picks us up and brings us into his eternal Leela. One day, here in Srivasangam, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just became ecstatic. This was in the daytime in the courtyard. And he cried out, Garuda, Garuda, Garuda! Murari Gupta came running in and said, I am Garuda! I have come, my lord! He said, Garuda, Garuda, yes, I have come, I am Garuda! I took you to the heavenly worlds to get the Parijata flower from Satyabhama. I helped you kill the Bhomasura. I have come! And Lord Chaitanya jumped on his back and Murari Gupta was running all over this courtyard in the mood of Garuda. And after some time, Lord Chaitanya got off. And that was the end of the Leela. So many transcendental experiences happen. Would you like to hear another? One day, Lord Chaitanya was sitting on the throne of Vishnu. And he was giving the benediction of pure love of God to whoever came before him. Srivas Thakur, he said, "My Lord, please give pure love of God to your mother, Sachi Devi. She is more dear to our hearts than very life." Lord Chaitanya said, "I will not give pure devotion to Sachi Devi." This shocked the devotees. Srivas Thakur said, "What? Sachi Mata? You took birth in her womb. Therefore, she's everyone's mother. Her devotion is spotless. Why will you not give love of Krishna to her? Please tell us, how could you think like this about your own mother? She's the mother of the universe. If she made an offense, then please, my Lord, please break it to pieces." Lord Chaitanya replied, "I can instruct one how to overcome the effects of offenses, but I cannot myself break it to pieces." And then he explained how Sachi Mata committed an offense. An offense to Advaitacharya. And unless she gets the dust of the feet of Advaitacharya with a sincere and repentant heart, she cannot attain love of Krishna. Sachi Mata heard all these words. She was standing right there. So immediately the devotees ran to Advaitacharya and said, "This is what the Lord said, that Sachi Devi will not get love of Krishna until she takes the dust of your lotus feet because she made an aparad to you." And Advaitacharya, they brought him to Srivasangam. And when he heard this, he was thinking, impossible. This is impossible. I cannot put the dust of my feet on Sachi Devi. She's my worshipable mother. She's pure devotional service personified. The Lord and Master of my life lived within her womb. She's not only my mother, she's the mother of all living beings. She is the mother Ganga. She is Devahuti. She is Kausalya. She's Devaki. She's Yasoda. She's the mother of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sachi Devi. She's worshipable to me. I must take the dust of her lotus feet." As he was exclaiming the glories of Sachi Devi, he became so thrilled by thinking about her that he fell unconscious right in front of the Lord. And Sachi Devi immediately took the opportunity and took the dust of his lotus feet. And as she took the dust of the lotus feet of Advaita Prabhu on her head, she became so overwhelmed by his glories that she became unconscious. This is Vaishnav society. Advaitacharya fell unconscious remembering the glories of Sachi Mata, and Sachi Mata fell unconscious remembering the glories of Advaita Prabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this, he woke them both up. And he says, "My dear mother, today your offense has been destroyed, and I give you pure love for Krishna.